Blog Talk Radio.
Texas on Friday, July the 23rd. Well, it's kind of a warm day here, supposed to hit the hundreds over the next few days. So we're in that 100 range coming up here over the next few days. It was, the heat index was 100 today on Friday. It was like 94, but the heat index was 100. So it's supposed to be 100 over the next week. So we're into what could be one of the warmest weeks of the year. So if you're in the Dallas area, make sure you dress lightly. And make sure there's a swimming pool somewhere where you can go and cool off a little bit. You know, we were going to be chatting tonight, Friday, as we always like to do on Friday nights, with our friend George Rodriguez down in San Antonio. George had a little problem. We're going to have to reschedule him probably for sometime next week. So we're going to talk about some of the issues that we were going to talk with him about tonight, as well as some other things. I want to begin, of course, with redistricting, which is going to be a huge political issue. You know, you think the Democrats are angry about this voting law? I mean, this is Disney compared to their reaction to redistricting. Of course, redistricting in Texas is going to happen because, well, first of all, you had a census every 10 years. And because of the census, we picked up a couple of congressional seats. So the map of Texas right now has 36 congressional districts. After redistricting, it's going to have 38. And obviously, you know, these maps tend to favor whoever the majority party is. In this case, in Texas, the majority party is the Republican Party. So I think this is going to be a big fight for 2022. We'll have a chance to get into more details when we talk to George Rodriguez in the next few days, because he's very familiar with what's going on with redistricting. So I'm just going to leave you with the following thought. It is going to be very, very difficult to do the redistricting. And I think the Democrats are going to cry and cry and cry. But look, unfortunately, as we see in California and as we see in Illinois, when they have the majorities, they, you know, redistrict the map in their favor. So obviously Republicans are going to do it in their favor, and that's fair game. I mean, the Republicans won the legislature, and they've got good strong majorities in the House and in the Senate. So yes, they're going to do the maps to benefit them. Again, elections have consequences. That's just the way it goes. So redistricting is going to be a major issue over the next couple of years, and it could have an impact on the makeup of the Congress, the upcoming Congress, because, you know, the states that picked up seats are Republican states. And when you take into consideration the fact that the Republicans at the moment have 31 of the 50 legislatures in the country, well, that gives the Republicans a bit of an edge in, you know, how to draw up these maps. And again, you don't have to make a lot of changes to a map to make one party or the other party more competitive or the other party less competitive. So we'll see how it goes. One of the issues that nobody's talking about regarding these Democrats who flew out of Texas is the whole question of redistricting, because I think a lot of them understand that they're going to be running in a totally different district when they come home. It's going to be a district that is going to be a lot different than the one they have right now. So if you're a Democrat and you won your last election for a state rep, let's say, your district is going to be a lot different. So if you're a Democrat who won with 51-52% of the vote, and they touch up the district a little bit and maybe bring in some people or add some people or change some of the boundaries, well, you might find yourself running in a totally different seat. So I think that's the next issue after these guys get back and and we do the voting law, I don't know how long they're going to be out. I don't think this is playing very well politically for them. So the ones who represent safe seats, they're fine. They're going to do fine. But it's the ones who represent competitive districts. I think they're the ones who probably want to get home and try to put together whatever they can to start their reelection campaign, because they're going to be in a tough fight in many of these districts. As I said many times, if you're a Democrat and you won your last election with 51-52% of the vote, you are going to have a very tough reelection in 2022. And I think most of the experts are expecting a red wave anyway, meaning a strong Republican showing, which means that many of these Democrats are frankly not going to survive. I think they know it, and that's probably why they are in Washington, you know, trying to do something. But, of course, they're not going to do anything, because the reality is they don't have the votes in Congress to pass that so-called H.R. 1 that they want to pass. They don't have the votes in Congress to do that. There's a story in the Dallas Morning News today that some of these Democrats in Washington are angry that President Biden will not meet with them. Well, he's not going to meet with them because they've been infected with COVID. And President Biden is 78 years old. So he doesn't want to be hanging around a bunch of people who are, you know, who are going to be potentially a threat to him and give him COVID. I mean, he's 78 years old after all. You know, he's got to protect himself. He's at a very vulnerable age for COVID. So they're not going to see President Biden. I think they saw Kamala Harris, but that's probably the last time they saw the vice president. They don't seem to be getting a lot of support at the U.S. Congress, probably because a lot of people don't want to be around them because of the COVID. So how long are they going to be? Look, they can be up there as long as they want, but there's two realities. Number one is this is not playing well back here in Texas. I don't think they're making any voters or gaining any voters by doing what they're doing. And number two, I think they better come back and start working on redistricting, because that's just a matter of time, and that's going to hurt many of them when they are up for reelection the next time. So come home, Democrats. You know, the Dallas Morning News had an editorial last week saying, come home, Democrats. I'll say it again. Come home, Democrats. This is where you need to be. We're going to take a little break. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. I have a post at the American Thinker on Friday morning talking about President Biden's town hall meeting over at CNN. That was one of the most embarrassing performances, not just by a president, by the network. First of all, they put as moderator a man who should not be a moderator. He's a partisan. This is a guy who obviously has a show. He spent much of the last 4 years, you know, attacking Trump. He doesn't really have the ability to ask questions. He let President Biden get away with a lot of things that were just absolutely insane. For example, the comments about inflation, when President Biden said that we're going to spend all this money and that's what's going to stop the inflation. Well, I don't know how you do that, because that goes against every economic theory that we're familiar with. But Don Lemon did not challenge the president at all when he said that. He didn't say, well, Mr. President, you know, many economists feel the same differently than you do. Can you explain that? No, he just let them get away with it. You know, at one point, the president said that if you have a vaccine, you're not going to get COVID. Well, tell that to the Texas Democrats who are hiding at the moment because they tested positive. Tell that to the people in the White House who apparently picked up COVID over the last week. So the president was allowed to say a bunch of things that should have been challenged by the host, at least, you know, in a polite way. I'm not talking, they don't have to treat Biden the way they treated Trump. they don't have to treat him that way. They can be respectful and professional, but they should ask some questions. And my goodness, I thought this was a pathetic performance by CNN, just absolutely pathetic. And I guess the country understands how pathetic it is because nobody watched it. They drew 1.5 million. They were beaten. This is very embarrassing. They were beaten by the regular programming at Fox News, like 2 or 3 to 1. So people were not watching this. And I think that tells you everything you know about CNN, everything you know need to know about Don Lemon. And frankly, I think even Democrats are just beginning to realize that there's something wrong with Mr. Biden. I don't mean physically or mentally. That's not what I mean. But there's something wrong. He's not, you know, I don't think any of them were ever really that excited about Joe Biden. I think they were just trying to vote against Trump. But I think a lot of them are beginning to realize that with the price of gasoline, inflation, the problem at the border, and a president who can't seem to explain anything, that they may be in for a very tough 2022. And by the way, I think they are going to be in for a very tough 22. One of the questions that came up during the town hall was about defunding the police. And President Biden said, well, I've never said defund the police. Well, that's true. He has never uttered those words, defund the police. But my goodness, everybody else in his party has. And he never told them to cut it out. This is again, where Don Lemon should have stepped up and said, well, Mr. President, maybe you didn't say it, but lots of people in your party are saying it. You know, well, how do you react to that? And this is the kind of thing that he was allowed to get away with. I guess the good news, the bad news is that it was a lousy performance. The good news is that nobody watched it. 1.5 million people for a presidential town hall? I mean, that should be getting 6, 7, 8, 10 million people. It didn't. And I think, again, it tells you something that people are not that excited about Joe Biden or the presidency of Joe Biden. And I also think a lot of people see through CNN, and they don't see a news network anymore. What they see is basically a subsidiary of the left. And it's killing the news business. All you got to do is look at CNN's ratings. Well, the San Francisco bishop, you know, the top Catholic guy in San Francisco, told Nancy Pelosi, Miss Pelosi, you cannot be a Catholic and practice or sponsor or support abortion. It all came about because, of course, they're talking about removing the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment goes back to Representative Henry Hyde of Illinois, who had put an amendment one time saying that you cannot use public funds to pay for abortions. And I think it's a good idea. I don't think public funds should be used to pay for abortion. But anyway, they want to do away with that. And Nancy Pelosi has been outspoken about it. And the Archbishop of San Francisco said, you cannot be a Catholic and support abortion. And I'm glad to see that. I think that it's time for the Catholic Church in the United States to draw the line and say, if you're going to be a politician who supports abortion or a politician who goes out of his way to make abortion more feasible for or more likely for people or more available for people, then you're not a good Catholic. You're not a good Catholic. And that's just the way it is. And I'm glad to see that there are bishops challenging Speaker Pelosi on that. And as you know, there are bishops and there are many priests who are challenging President Obama and say, I mean, not President Obama, but President Biden, and saying you shouldn't receive communion. How can you receive communion and sign all these executive orders facilitating abortion? So good job by the Archbishop of San Francisco challenging Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and keep up the good work in the Catholic Church saying that President Biden should be denied communion. Well, my God, the time flew. I guess that happens all the time when we're having fun. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll reschedule George Rodriguez for sometime next week. Bye-bye, everybody.